entertained? Are you not entertained?
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
You're listening to the French Press Podcast, where we discuss events from our lives. Welcome to the French Press Podcast. This is episode 207.
And it's Wednesday, November 1st, 2017.
We're a little off schedule today.
We switched it so it would be on the first of the month.
That is incorrect. That's a one. But Leighton, why did we? Why did we change the schedule from our normally scheduled program?
Because, Ruben, there are very few things that are more important to me than recording this podcast. And one of those just happens to be family.
Okay.
Ah, family.
Family comes first. Especially when one of your in-laws is moving to Florida.
So it's not even blood.
No.
I wonder if you'd be willing to do that, if you'd be willing to skip the podcast for in-law family, what would you do for blood family?
Oh my word. Ruben, I'd probably skip two podcasts in a row.
Man, such dedication.
To family.
We have got a chuck full episode, and it's only the three of us. You already heard Jeff's voice.
Yeah.
And Jeff, well, never mind. I was going to ask. Go ahead. Yeah, you know what? Yes. Go ahead and explain yourself when you're coughing fits.
Oh, my coughing fits.
Coughing fits. Batman.
No, it's pretty simple. Mom has told me that basically I have always like kind of had stuff in my throat and just kind of cleared it occasionally. And a long time ago, I was diagnosed with some kind of allergy. And it's not like serious enough or bothersome enough that I really do anything about it. It's not worth taking
so
medication for.
So what you're
for,
saying is that I'm making fun of you for a disability.
Pretty much.
Now you're making me look like the bad guy.
Pretty much.
Don't feel like a bad guy, Ruben.
Way to knock a retarded person down when they're already on the ground.
All I want is a good podcast, Jeff. I didn't mean to insult a handicap.
Yeah.
We do have a Chuck full episode for
well,
you.
What is with Chuck?
It's
and why
chalk.
Is he filling?
The word is chalk.
I know. Why is Chuck filling? Who is Chuck and why is he filling our episode with content? It is Chuck full. Well, I'd hate to see if it were Jeff full or Ruben full.
That'd be pretty.
It is Chuck full.
Let's start with the feedback.
Okay.
This weekend, I was in Arkansas visiting my girlfriend, and it was excellent. And when I was there, Leighton, your name came up.
So, what?
Yeah. Christian Beachy's father came up to me.
A faithful listener.
Mm-hmm.
The Beachy's are faithful listeners.
His mother's also a faithful listener, but
their family is a faithful listener. They have a tradition to gather in their living room and to listen to the French Press as a family. It is my dream to have more families share this tradition throughout the United States and beyond.
And across the world.
Yes.
He came up, it was in church Sunday morning, and he walked up and just... And it was in reference, that sigh was in reference of you. And I asked him, did Leighton do that while he was here in service?
Ruben, I would guess he did.
He said you did.
Yes. A good guess.
The other piece of feedback was from Carmen. She said that her grandma said that our podcast is just like preaching. It puts her to sleep.
Good?
Well,
I think
if we're not actually a benefit to society, at least we're a sleep aid.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I've heard that before where people listen to us as they're falling asleep or to assist in drifting away.
We are ridding the world of the need of Tylenol PM. You're welcome, wow. America.
And then I do have one more piece of feedback, and then I know you have some feedback too, Leighton.
I have so much.
Hello, just calling in here to complain a little bit about
this audio feedback is or this feedback is audio.
It sounds like Kyle.
It is Kyle. He emailed it to us. So let's give it a listen. It's pretty lengthy, but anyway.
Oh, my.
French press. My name is Kyle Miller, and I feel like my girlfriend and I were a little thrown under the bus in previous episode.
Quiet. Sorry. People want to be able to hear
this.
Yeah,
they got to hear
it. I'm backing it up a little bit.
Oh, man, not again.
I feel like my girlfriend and I were a little thrown under the bus in the previous episode about us going to Chicago for the weekend. I feel like their complaints were unwarranted, unfair, and just simply dishonest. And I just wanted to know that I am not impressed with the French press. I think they are just a tabloid scheming company overall and pretty much just trash.
I can't believe he referred us as a company.
I can't believe he referred
like
to
the,
us.
That's as, like the biggest compliment we've ever gotten.
I know.
Actually, I thought the tabloid was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Not bad.
I have no respect left for them. And I also wanted to inform all the fans of French press about a massive embezzlement scheme going on right at French Press headquarters.
What?
And it starts back about May.
We've got more than one location.
He's figured it out. It's Girlfriend Gate.
Let's keep on listening.
Okay.
May of 2013. Back about May of 2013.
Sorry.
On right at French Press headquarters. And starts back about May of 2013. I went onto the French Press Podcast like a good citizen and FrenchPressPodcast.com, and there was a little donate button, and it said donate $1 a month to help the French Press out. And I clicked on that link and I signed up for it. And that was May 2013. So far, I've donated $54 since that date. And I was just looking through this here, and I see that the actual email that's getting this money is RubenEH@gmail.com. I think this is a big scam. Ruben isn't doing anything with this money to help the French press out. He's pocketing it all behind his back. It's absolutely
behind his back.
It's a complete embezzlement scheme. I feel like Jeff and Layton have been treated unfairly. They could have spent all that money on better podcast equipment, but Ruben is stealing it right from underneath their noses.
I know it.
I just wanted to alert all the French press fans, watch out for that Ruben guy. He's a sneaky little guy. Just stay away. Please stay away.
Ruben,
all right, that's
is
all,
this
that's
why
all.
My pop filter is a pair of used underwear?
Jeff.
No, only we just thought it looked good on you.
It actually cost more, but we thought it was worth it to make you look dumb.
Yeah, and it worked.
Yeah. So it's time to come clean, I guess.
The underwear?
No, the embezzlement accusation.
So now that this is out in the open, I am curious.
How many other?
What are you actually doing with this money? You're just spending it on your girlfriend, aren't you?
Hey. Trips to Arkansas are cheap, and while it's true, you're gonna say it. No, I meant aren't cheap.
Aren't cheap. Yeah. And he said trips to Arkansas are cheap.
But it's a good thing I had it. I mean, I started this back in 2013, mm-hmm. and at the time, who would have guessed that I would know that I would need this travel money?
Mm.
But I did, and it's come in handy.
I bet
paying tolls. Yeah.
I'm wondering how did Kyle sign up in 2013 and end up donating only $50?
Because it was only $1 a month.
For how long?
And the PayPal fees are about 33 cents.
No.
Anyway, if you have ever donated money to the podcast, rest assured that it is properly allocated.
Yeah.
Into Ruben's girlfriend.
No, it is being deposited into a fund that is theoretical. we really should have like a mason jar or maybe we should just, oh my word, we should invest
in Bitcoin.
Yes, invest the French press into Bitcoin.
No, Bitcoin is
sure to double.
For at least for the short time, is a fairly, it's a high risk investment, but it's bound to be profitable at least for the next little while. I invested Bitcoin a month ago and sold it a few days ago and gained 30%. So it was pretty good. And then I reinvested even more and am expecting to gain more by it.
Okay.
Anyway. You have some feedback too.
Yeah, I do. We got my youth leader, Jonathan. He said that he was talking to his son, Wynn, who is a faithful listener of the podcast as well. Who knows? Maybe someday he'll get married and he'll also have little Wynn Juniors running around and he will make all of them sit down in the living room and also share the French press tradition of listening to an episode as a family. You're welcome, Wynn. He said that hearing Mitch talk on last week's podcast brought back many memories, made him feel very nostalgic about working at Paul's. So that's Wynn's feedback.
Wynn said this.
How, that was through Jonathan.
Yes.
Okay.
And I also heard that Jonathan and his son Luke also found it, the podcast, very encouraging. And so that's going to be, I feel like that should be the poll question for this week. Should the French press have more inspiring / success stories on the podcast?
And even if you would say yes, the way I feel the room right now of Leighton and Jeff, it still would not be every other episode. It would be a more serious episode.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be the majority of the time. The majority of the time, I still feel like this is for entertainment primarily and enjoyment. But I also, I love when people are inspired and when there are good stories to share, like Mitch's. But even if you would vote yes, this would not be totally changing the podcast.
Right.
Right.
Where it would be, oh, every week or every other week. It'd probably, maybe we would aim for probably once a month, maybe more similar to what Mr. Dave has been doing.
Right.
I would envision it personally as something that happens a little bit less often, even than once a month, maybe once every 5 weeks or so, just because.
Could we do it every fifth Tuesday of the month?
I know you're just being dumb.
Yeah.
It's like, that's like having the special offering on every fifth Sunday.
I know, it's exactly what I was thinking.
But that is a good poll question, and you can go vote. And if you have issues voting, do send us a message on Facebook.
Yeah, we need to know that stuff.
I think the primary reason for having it less often is simply it takes work to find people with inspiring stories to bring on the podcast.
Yeah, because most people's stories are very depressing.
Yeah.
Most people
are. I have at least, well, I have one inspiring story and one depressing story of the stories that I'm going to be sharing on this episode.
Okay. Anyway.
And then one that's neutral.
Yeah.
Do you have any more feedback?
No.
Do you have any feedback, Jeff?
No.
Okay. Then let's move on. Let's get to one of those stories, Leighton. Tell us one of your stories, and then I've got something to snack on.
Okay.
Something.
Well, I'll get the boring story out of the way.
Okay.
That's also supposed to be inspiring.
Inspiring.
Spoiler.
Stories, Batman.
Okay. So, what was it? A few weeks ago, we were up in Chicago. We went to the Apple store up there. Okay. I had a phone, and it was not working properly. Because the speaker, I had dropped my phone in a pile of metallic dust.
Metallica dust?
Mm-hmm. Metallic dust. It was dust that I had swept together when we were cleaning the shop floor.
Oh.
It fell out of my pocket.
I thought you were talking about dust that comes from the guitar player from Metallica.
No.
That comes off his guitar as he's playing.
No, that's called Pixie.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Anyways, So I dropped it in dust, and then all those little metal filings were magnetically magnetically
drawn.
Yeah, that's the good word.
Summoned.
Attracted.
No. Attached. I think drawn is the best word.
Drawn into my stereo speaker hole at the bottom of my iPhone. And ever since then, it sounded so terrible. It like sounded very tinny whenever I would listen to a YouTube video or put my phone on speakerphone during a call. It was so bad.
Because those filings like went in there and like inhibited the vibration.
Did you try any home remedies like taking a vacuum or taking another magnet to try to draw them out the other way?
No.
What did you do?
So I took it into the Apple store since we were up there anyway. They said they did a really cool diagnostic check. Have you ever seen one of those, Ruben?
No.
It's the tiniest little dock, and it doesn't look like there's much to it at all. But there's a little dock, and then they have like they connect that dock to a computer. Okay, so the iPhone is mounted to the dock. The dock is connected to the computer. It starts the diagnostic check. And you can like hear it like checking different things. So it told it to check the audio speakers. And so then you hear it actually, it makes the iPhone play different frequencies. Yeah. So yeah, you hear it like go like. And like then it said that it didn't detect anything wrong with the speaker system, but it did detect something wrong with the charging port. And then she asked me, have you been having problems with the charging port? No. Okay, then we'll just disregard that. But she said, like, yeah, there is definitely still something wrong. Like, she could hear it, that it sounded terrible. So she said, hey, give us, like, 4 hours, and we'll have this thing repaired for about $60.
Huh.
It's like, okay, fine, sure. So I leave it there. I give them my phone, I take the case off, and I actually put the case in my pocket where I normally hold my phone, mm-hmm. because I knew that if we would be touring around Chicago, I'd always be checking my pocket for my phone, and if I wouldn't feel in there, I'd have these little, oh, I was like, oh yeah, I left it at the Apple store, that's right. And I wanted to save myself those little panics, so I'll just put the case.
You wanted to enjoy the city.
Yes, I'll just put the case in my pocket, and I'll feel the case, and I'll think, oh, my phone's there, okay, good. Oh, actually, my phone isn't there, but I still didn't panic in that process. It's called mind games, Jeff. You can play them in your own mind. Anyway, so we go about touring Chicago. We come back 4 hours later, and they tell me that, hey, we didn't fix your phone. And I'm like, oh. So then they say, I asked him, so what happens now? So they tell me, we're going to give you a brand new one for the same price that you would have paid for the repair of your old one. So I have a brand new scuff-free iPhone 7.
Pretty legit.
The scuff-free is a special edition.
Special,
a scuff-free edition.
Scuff-free.
Did you have any issues, you know, moving your information over?
Yeah, I did. Okay, so she told me that the process of repairing or replacing iPhone speakers is very intrusive, and it could cause damage to the memory of the phone, and so she recommended that I have a backup. So,
well, hold on. At this point, though, so you did this beforehand. You backed it up beforehand?
Yes-ish.
Yes-ish.
I signed up. I did not have it backed up. At least not recently. I did have an old, like, probably 4 or 5 month old backup on my computer of my iPhone. Okay. But it wasn't very current at all. And so I decided, you know what, I'll just back it up to iCloud. So I bought iCloud storage, and I did a backup, and it finished. Well, it was 3/4 of the ways done with the backup. And then I said, and we had to go. I didn't want to make you guys wait. We had to go tour Chicago, whatever. It was almost done. I'd give her the phone. She's like, okay, well, we'll wait for it to finish backing up. Okay, great. So, whatever. It finished, whatever. And then get back 4 hours later. They give me a new phone. They say, okay, here's your old phone. Please erase all the data and stuff. I do that. log into my new phone, and I go to my iCloud, whatever, and oh, there's an iPhone backup. But boy, is it tiny. I mean, compared to what was on my old phone, it was just like a tiny backup.
Does it show the size of the backup?
Yeah. It's like 4.1
gigabytes.
Gigs. And like I had at least like 40 gigs on my old phone of data.
Data, Batman.
So data. So what do you do? Do you try to restore that small backup?
Yeah, I did. And it was barely anything there. It had all the apps. And contacts.
What about your messages?
Yeah, messages were there.
Okay.
Photos?
What about the most important thing, which is, the photos?
Nothing. Nix. Not one.
So you lost all of your photos?
I would have.
Okay.
But this is actually what... I basically did, but I didn't.
Okay.
My photos were not saved in my backup.
They were because I had told you, you tried restoring it over cellular data, and I told you, you should try over Wi-Fi, and we even went to Apple's support page for iCloud Backup, and it did say restore on Wi-Fi, and I told you, well, maybe it won't restore everything until you are on Wi-Fi, but are you saying you tried that, and that still was not...
I don't really specifically try that. I didn't restore my iPhone on Wi-Fi exactly, no.
So what did you do, and how did you get your photos?
What I did was, thankfully, I had what's called My Photo Stream turned on. And that makes that doesn't back everything up to iCloud, but what it does, it automatically syncs all of your devices that you're signed on with the same Apple ID. Those will automatically sync photos whenever they are connected to the internet. So the last time that my laptop was connected to the internet was, I think, end of July. And that's when my photo stream was updated on my laptop. So all the pictures that I took with my iPhone up until July were all saved there already. So I did lose a few photos, but not very many. But that's all from photo stream. None of that was from a backup from whatever, iCloud.
See, I still think that something was wrong with that backup. Either they didn't wait for it to finish, or because all your photos that are currently on your phone are supposed to be in that backup.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. I'm satisfied.
Is that the end of your story?
Yeah. So overall, my experience with Apple was pretty redeemed, I'd say.
By the new phone thing.
Well, by the new phone thing and just my experience there at Apple. I walked in, I said, hey, I'm having an issue with my phone. And they're like, okay, well, we should have a person with you within 5 minutes that'll help you. And they did. And it was just like, bam, bam, bam. It was just great. They were just on it. I just think that the Apple branch, the Apple store in Mishawaka is probably one of the worst.
Having never shopped there, I would agree.
Perfect. That's what I like to hear.
Layton, side note, is your iPad actually bent, or is it just the case that's crooked?
It's actually bent a little bit.
Wow. It just tis slightly curved.
I want to share. You guys have each gone and shared some food or some hot chocolate with us, so I felt like it was my turn, and I came across something that is better than what I expected, and I had high expectations for it.
You had expectations. You had high
expectations.
Yes.
And it was better.
Yes.
You heard
that we're
right.
Probably going to hate it.
Okay. What?
It's hard to get you to even have high expectations for anything. I'm serious.
This is true. This is very true.
And I specifically remember having you get high expectations for the Cheesecake Factory. And you were like offended when you walked in there and they didn't somehow like immediately start like massaging your feet or like shoving cheesecake into your mouth or just something that like you had
never
experienced
before. The way you described the Cheesecake Factory, I expected it to be like walking through Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory.
It was.
Except it wasn't.
You could have almost eaten anything in there. It just wouldn't have been edible.
Anyway, this is what I have. I was getting ready for my trek to Arkansas, and I knew I wanted some decently healthy snacks to take along with me. Okay. And I was at the coffee shop here in town, Main Street Coffee House, and I saw these. The brand is Bare, and it's...
How is that spelled?
B-A-R-E.
Okay.
And it's coconut chips is what it is. Ooh. I like coconut. I like pina coladas. I wouldn't say that I love coconut, but I like coconut. Coconut pie, yeah, it's good. I was blown away by how good these coconut chips are.
Okay. Like, normally, like, I'm okay with coconut. I love coconut shrimp. But like, just coconut flakes, I'm not always a huge fan of.
I hate coconut flakes. They're just, like, they just exist.
Fresh coconut, like, straight off of the
tasteless
tree.
Tasteless lettuce for cookies.
Pretty good. Tasteless lettuce for cookies.
Now, keep in mind, this is not to blow your mind with an explosion of flavor. This is just a healthy snack, an alternative to potato chips.
Is it actually healthy, though?
Technically, no, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's a fruit versus a starch.
It's a nut.
No, Ruben, all this is honey bunches of oats in a blander form.
I will say these are pretty good.
Why don't you just snack on honey bunches of oats?
The main thing I don't like about small coconut flakes is that they're usually like kind of chewy and the texture is awful.
But what would you say about these?
These are pretty good. They're crunchy enough that they're not, yeah, they're not chewy. They're crunchy enough, and they're pretty flavorful.
They taste too good to actually be healthy.
So you agree they taste good?
Yes.
They taste better than I expected, and I was going into it.
Like, allow me to pH this flavor for you.
So I'm a big fan of this. Crunchiness thereof. The brand is Bare, and it's called Toasted Coconut Chips. Now, there's also these apple chips, which I have not tasted yet.
Ooh.
I just smelled them, and they don't smell good. But we're going to try them anyway.
All right. Shove them in my mouth. They look like sweet potato skins.
Seasy grump batter. Schala.
It's okay, but not even close to the level of what I got with the coconut chips.
They basically just taste like dried, like, almost
these
like...
taste more like normal dried apples.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you're going on a trip and you want a decently healthy snack, try some coconut chips.
Or use cashews. That's my go-to. That is my go-to traveling thing.
I always end up... Hold it.
What do you get when you're traveling, Jeff?
I always end up buying unhealthy candy and snacks and stuff.
On trips?
On trips. Because it's so good.
But then you always feel so nasty afterwards.
But you feel nasty afterwards anyway when you're traveling.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
You get out of the car and you feel like you got to bend your back into place.
All right, why don't we go ahead, while Jeff is prepping his throat, why don't we have one more story from Layton?
Oh, my word.
And then we'll have Jeff's racist story.
Okay, this one will also be very quick. Okay, so I'm at work last Thursday. I'm at work last Thursday, and a coworker of mine says, "Hey, I had a brother of mine that was asking about a welder that's going to be at an auction. He asked me how much it would bring, and I said, oh, probably $2,000 or $3,000, something like that. I was like, oh, what auction?
Which kind of welder?
I have no idea.
Probably like a MIG welder, TIG welder.
There's a MIG.
Like a half decent one?
Probably.
Anyways.
And then I was like, what auction is it? Oh, it's like, it's at Napanee Elementary School. I was like, oh, what are they selling? I was like, well, the wood shop and welding shop are getting rid of all of their stuff, and they're selling all their stuff.
So it'd be good equipment.
And they're upgrading to newer. I was like, oh, man, you know what? I've been wanting to get into woodworking, and I bet they'd have some cool stuff there. And so as soon as I'm done with work, I haul down to Napanee Elementary, and I get there. And I kid you not, when I pulled in, there was a guy that was digging around in his back seat in his little S10 truck. He saw me pull up with my Flex, and he just stared. He like stopped his rummaging and just looked at me for like 10 or 15 seconds. And then I get out of the car, and then he finally looks away and starts rummaging again. I'm pretty sure what was going through his mind
was... He was sizing you up, seeing if you were a threat.
Yeah, or he was also, like, trying to telepathically tell me, like, hey, they're not selling diapers here. They're not auctioning off diaper bundles or anything.
And what I mean sizing you up as a competitor to get whatever he wanted to get out of the auction.
Right.
Not in a fight or a drag race.
Oh, yeah. And then I start, and it's raining so bad. It is pouring down rain. They have tarps over, like, some of the stuff they had set outside. Oh. So I quickly rush inside, whatever, and I see some, like, cool equipment there. There's a couple guys standing there, like, talking and, you know, chewing the fat. And I ask them, like, hey, is all this stuff sold already? And, like, yeah, unfortunately. I was like, okay, fine. And so then I go, that there were like two halves to this auction. In the one room, there was like whatever, some big equipment, like a big industrial planer and some drill presses and some lathes and stuff like that. You know, the kind of stuff that I would have wanted to buy. That stuff's all sold. The only stuff that's left is just like shelving or like a nice little cabinet and just random stuff that they're selling. And I go over to the other part where they're actually the current auction is taking place, and everyone looks at me like, why is there a 12-year-old here? Number one. Number two, why does this 12-year-old think that he has a chance at buying any of this stuff? They look at me like, it's already been decided who is gonna buy this. And it's us. Okay? And you are obviously not greasy enough to be here. Okay? You don't know what it's like to scavenge around looking for bargains day after day after day at an auction. Okay? Some of these guys were so friendly with the auctioneer that they would share his spittoon. They had a rhythm.
I feel like you're... Okay. All
right, they had a rhythm. Like, he would spit, and then, like, they would pass it around, and everyone was, like, ready with their wad to spit.
What did you do when it came to you?
When it came to me, like, well, they didn't let it even come to me. Because they knew that I wasn't a part of the in-auction group. It's like some kind of special club. Ugh. Yeah. And you know what I did?
Did you outbid them?
Nope. I turned right around and left. I decided, you know what? I'm not going to let these guys take advantage of me. I'm just going to leave. Because I knew. I knew that if I would try to buy something, they would just bid me up like mad.
Did you shake off your sandals as you pulled out of the parking lot?
If I would have been wearing sandals.
You did spin your tires a little bit.
Accidentally.
They turned.
Everyone else was there with their, like, little trucks and little trailers all prepared to, like, haul away with something. And I show up with my Flex. And you know what I left with? My Flex.
Is there a moral to this story?
Don't expect to find a bargain at an auction if you're not willing to share the spittoon.
I feel like... What is the proper word for a spittle container?
Spittoon.
It is spittoon?
Yeah. It's a... And that's the sound that it makes whenever you spit into it. It's spittoon.
Maybe if it's empty, like the first couple. Once it gets filled...
Once it gets... No, it just gets lower. The more...
Doom. Actually, the fuller wouldn't it get higher, the fuller it gets?
Yeah, like, it would get
when
higher.
You're filling up a glass of water, it's like...
What sound does it make, Jeff?
Actually, yeah. That's a bottle of water.
Maybe you're right. Maybe it gets higher. But either way, it just changes pitch.
I'm pretty sure if you have like a wine glass and you try to make it ring, the more you fill it up, it does get higher pitched.
Ah, yes. Ruben's
probably because it wouldn't be able to vibrate as much.
Mm-hmm.
The wavelengths are shorter because it just goes down to where it's filled up.
Speaking of wavelengths, let's get over to Jeff's racist story.
That's a great segue.
Thanks.
Yeah. Okay, so some disclaimers. This story has racist connotations. It's not like that bad.
Is it your favorite story? Or just one of your favorites?
It's just one that I came across that I found really interesting. And it is, yeah, I'm not propagating racism in any way.
French press does not condone racism.
We do not condone racism.
However, disavow Jeff's choice of stories.
However, also keep in mind that this story came from early 1800s Germany. And
oh my.
I think the general feel in Europe at that time was that Jews were pretty terrible.
What were you going to say, Layton?
I was going to say that we reserve the right to, like, be unaffiliated with any of Jeff's segments, including Jeff's jingles, including but not limited to Jeff's jingles, Jeff's fairy tale stories. What else is Jeff the lifeblood of?
We not single thoughts.
Single thoughts. Yeah, we're definitely not affiliated with that.
Yeah. So this story is called The Jew Among Thorns. And yeah, some of the themes behind this story, and you'll see as I read it, some of the themes behind this story are still kind of thought in our society today.
Hmm.
So,
all right, enough disclaimers.
Enough disclaimers.
Let's go ahead and get started.
All right. All right. There once was a rich man who had a servant who served him diligently and honestly. He was every morning the first out of bed and the last to go to rest at night. Whenever there was a difficult job to be done, which nobody cared to undertake, he was always the first to set himself to it. Moreover, he never complained, but was content with everything and always merry. When a year was ended, his master gave him no wages, for he said to himself, "That is the cleverest way, for I shall save something, and he will not go away, but stay quietly in my service." The servant said nothing, but did his work the second year, as he had done in the first. And when at the end of this, likewise, he received no wages, he made himself happy and still stayed on.
He made himself happy.
Made himself happy. When the third year was also passed, the master considered, put his hand in his pocket, but pulled nothing out. Then at last the servant said, "Master, for 3 years I have served you honestly. Be so good as to give me what I ought to have, for I wish to leave and look about me a little more in the world." "Yes, my good fellow," answered the old miser. "You have served me industriously, and therefore you shall be cheerfully rewarded." And he put his hand into his pocket, but counted out only 3 farthings, saying, "There, you have a farthing for each year. That is a large and liberal pay, such as you would have received from few masters." The honest servant, who understood little about money, put his fortune into his pocket, and thought, "Ah, now that I have my purse full, why need I trouble and plague myself any longer with hard work?" So on he went, up hill and down dale, and sang and jumped in his heart's content. Now it came to pass that as he was going by a thicket, a little man stepped out and called to him, "Whither away, merry brother? I see you do not carry many cares." "Why should I be sad?" answered the servant. "I have enough. 3 years' wages are jingling in my pocket." "How much is your treasure?" the dwarf asked him. "How much? 3 farthings sterling, all told." "Look here," said the dwarf, "I am a poor and needy man. Give me your 3 farthings. I can work no longer, but you are young and can easily earn your bread." And as the servant had a good heart and felt pity for the old man, he gave him the 3 farthings, saying, "Take them in the name of heaven. I shall not be any worse for it." Then the little man said, "As I see you have a good heart, I grant you 3 wishes, one for each farthing, and they shall be all fulfilled." "Aha," said the servant, "you are one of those who can work wonders. Well then, if it is to be so, I wish, first, for a gun,
which she'll hit everything that I aim at. Secondly, for a fiddle, which when I play it, she'll compel all who hear it to dance. Thirdly, that if I ask a favor of any one, he shall not be able to refuse it. All that you shall have, said the dwarf, and put his hand into the bush, and only think there lay a fiddle and a gun already, just as if they had been ordered. Then he gave them to the servant, and then said to him, whatever you may ask at any time, no man in the world shall be able to deny you. Heart alive, what can one desire more? Said the servant to himself, and went merrily onwards. Soon afterwards he met a Jew with a long goat's beard, who was standing, listening to the song of a bird, which was sitting in the top of the tree. Good heavens, he was explaining, that such a small creature should have a fearfully loud voice. If it were but mine, if only someone would sprinkle some salt upon his tail. If that is all, said the servant, the bird shall soon be down here. And taking aim, he pulled the trigger, and down fell the bird into the thorn bushes. Go, you rogue, he said to the Jew, and fetch the bird out for yourself. Oh, said the Jew, leave out the rogue, my master, and I will do it at once. I will get the bird out for myself, and you can have it, and you really have hit it. Then he lay down on the ground and began to crawl into the thicket. When he was fast among the thorns, the good servant's humor so tempted him, that he took up his fiddle and began to play. In a moment, the Jew's legs began to move, and to jump into the air, and the more the servant fiddled, the better went the dance. But the thorns tore his shabby coat from him, combed his beard, and prickled and plucked him all over the body. Oh, dear, cried the Jew, what do I want with your fiddling? Leave the fiddle alone, master, I do not want to dance. But the servant did not listen to him and thought, you have fleeced people often enough. Now the thorn bushes shall do the same to you. And he began to play over again, so that the Jew had to jump higher than ever, and scraps of his coat were left hanging on the thorns. Oh, woe's me, cried the Jew, I will give the gentleman whatsoever he asks, if only he leaves off fiddling, a purse full of gold. If you are so liberal, said the servant, I will stop my music. But this I must say to your credit, that you dance it so well that is quite an art. And having taken the purse, he went his way. The Jew stood still and watched the servant quietly until he was far off and out of sight, and then he screamed out with all his might, you miserable magician, you beer-house fiddler, wait till I catch you alone. I will haunt you till the soles of your shoes fall off, you ragamuffin. Just put 5 farthings in your mouth, and then you may be worth 3.5 pence. And went on abusing him as fast as he could speak. As soon as he had refreshed himself a little on this way, and got his breath again, he ran into the town to the justice. My lord judge, he said, I have come to make a complaint. See how a rascal has robbed and ill-treated me on the public highway. A stone in the ground might pity me, all my clothes all torn, my body pricked and scratched, and my little all gone with my purse. Gold ducats, each piece better than the last. For God's sake, let the man be thrown into prison. Was it a soldier, said the judge, who cut you thus with his saber? Nothing of the sort, said the Jew. It was no sword that he had, but a gun hanging at his back and a fiddle at his neck. The wretch may easily be known. So the judge sent his people out after the man, and they found the good servant, who had been going quite slowly along, and they found, too, the purse with the money upon him. As he was taken before the judge, he said, I did not touch the Jew, nor take his money. He gave it to me of his own free will, that I might leave off fiddling, because he could not bear my music. Heaven defend us, cried the Jew, his lies are as thick as flies upon the wall. But the judge also did not believe his tale, and said, this is a bad defense. No Jew would do that. And because he had committed robbery on the public highway, he sentenced the good servant to be hanged. And he was being led away. The Jew again screamed after him, you vagabond, you dog of a fiddler, now are you going to receive your well-earned reward. The servant walked quietly with the hangman up the ladder. But upon the last step, he turned around and said to the judge, grant me just one request before I die. Yes, if you do not ask your life, said the judge. I do not ask for life, answered the servant, but as a last favor, let me play once more upon my fiddle. The Jew raised a great cry of murder, murder, for goodness sake, do not allow it, do not allow it. But the judge said, why should I not let him have this short pleasure? It has been granted to him, and he shall have it. However, he could not have refused, on account of the gift which had been bestowed upon the servant. Then the Jew cried, oh, woe's me, tie me fast, while the good servant took his fiddle from his neck and made ready. And as he gave the first scrape, they all began to quiver and shake. The judge, his clerk, and the hangman and his men, and the cord fell out of the one who was going to tie the Jew fast. At the second scrape, all raised their legs, and the hangman let go of his hold of the good servant, and made himself ready to dance. At the third scrape, they all leapt up and began to dance, the judge and the Jew being the best at jumping. Soon, all who had gathered in the marketplace out of curiosity were dancing with them, old and young, fat and lean, one with another. The dogs, likewise, which had run there, got up on their hind legs and capered about, and the longer he played, the higher sprang the dancers, so that they knocked against each other's heads and began to shriek terribly. At length the judge cried, quite out of breath, "I will give you life if only you will stop fiddling." The good servant, thereupon, had compassion, took his fiddle and hung it round his neck again, and stepped down the ladder. Then he went up to the Jew, who was lying upon the ground, panting for breath, and said, "You rascal, now confess whence you got the money, or I will take out my fiddle and begin to play again." I stole it, cried he, "but you have honestly earned it." So the judge had the Jew taken to the gallows and hanged as a thief. The end.
Quite a turn of events.
Quite a turn of events. So as you can see, the theme of people being, how you say, well, he's a Jew, whatever, because, you know, they're stingy with their money. That theme runs a little deeper in this story, but yeah.
Mm, wow. Well, that was our racist story.
That was.
Thanks, Jeff.
I think you have another story for us, Layton.
I do? Oh, yeah, I do. Do we have time? What's the time running at?
We're at close to 50 minutes.
I think I want to save it for next week. I'll do a little tease, though. It's closely associated with fall. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
All right. Well, as we wrap this up.
No, we're not ready to wrap this up yet.
Oh, Jeff, do you have something else for us?
I have something else that was teased last week, and we actually have time to do it this week.
I don't even remember what it was. What is it?
Well, okay, so there's this thing that I hear occasionally whilst driving, because I listen to the radio while driving.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And
you want to plug it in?
Yeah. Let's, I could just play it into the mic as well.
No.
Okay, yeah, you need to hear this.
They need to hear the highest of qualities.
The highest quality.
Not that they haven't heard it before.
Actually, surprisingly, I have heard that it's a radio commercial, and I've heard that the same radio commercial is played in a lot of places in the U.S. Not necessarily the same guy, but
just the same message.
The same message. Yeah.
So here it is. I pay cash and close in as little as 7 days. I buy houses in any condition, any price range, and in any location. I am not a realtor or associated with any. I can pay cash and 294-5678. That's 574-294-5678. 294. Real estate investor who buys several houses a month and I want to buy even more. Call me at 574-294-5678. I buy inherited houses, divorce, real estate investor who buys several
houses. That's all that I have, sadly. This guy has the Dutchiest voice of any person that I know.
This is so Dutchy.
Have you heard this commercial, Jeff? You said you heard it somewhere else.
I have heard this commercial.
No. You've heard the Northern Indiana one.
Get this. No, so I was listening to Casey Hendrickson, a local news guy, and he said that somebody from Florida told him they play the exact same commercial in Sarasota, but with a different guy talking. But
Casey Hendrickson has talked about this commercial.
Casey Hendrickson makes fun of this commercial.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But note how he says the word more in this one. And yeah.
Real estate investor who buys several houses a month and I want to buy even more. Call me at
More. It's actually more. Yeah, it's actually more. And then his fours are the same way.
294-5678. That's 574-294-5678.
Four.
And basically, it's this guy who buys houses I buy houses cash.
He buys houses cash.
Does he buy inherited houses?
He buys inherited
houses. Does he buy divorced houses?
He buys divorced houses.
Does he buy can't pay my rent houses?
He buys my tenant can't pay me the rent houses. He buys behind in payment houses. He even buys my house's trash and needs thousands of dollars in repairs.
Oh, you know, it must be working. Otherwise, he still wouldn't have the ad on the radio, right?
Yeah, right.
And, you know, Jeff, the other night I was able to repair an iPhone, replace an iPhone screen in about an hour's time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty fast. That's pretty mm-hmm. good. And so I'm thinking I should go into iPhone repair business.
There you go.
And plus, or even if they want to get rid of their iPhones so they can buy a new one, I'll take their old broken iPhones. I'll buy broken iPhones. I'll buy Verizon iPhones. I'll even buy, I still need to pay my upgrade fee so that I can get a new iPhones. I buy iPhones cash.
So basically, this commercial is like annoying to everyone who knows what an Amish accent is. And if you don't know what it is, you would probably wouldn't think that much of it. Or maybe you would. I don't know.
But if you hate Amish accents, Dutchie accents, then after you listen to this ad, you'll hate it even more.
More. This exact same ad has probably been playing for 2 years on the radio. I mean, it's a long time. And it never updated. They did change it one time. Because it used to be 574-294.
294.
5678.
5678.
Yeah.
Jeff, do you think that we should call over there and just like have a conversation with them and tell them how terrible their ad really is? I think that would be fun.
So
we should get them on the phone and then record it.
I saw a picture of this guy. And he's like totally like a normal guy, whatever.
What?
Yeah, there's a picture on Franklin, I think.
Yeah, it's on a billboard.
Yeah.
I expected this to be an Amish guy. Like, when I heard this the first time, I thought, this is an Amish guy
running
his own business, you know? And he has radio commercials because some church districts do allow that. But yeah, I was surprised. Even the Amish businesses who are actually owned by real Amishmen, they like pay
Amish businesses that are owned by real Amishmen,
like people that are actually still Amish. They pay professional people to record their commercials for them. Mm. Yeah,
something that should have been done with this one as well.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, for sure,
for sure.
All right, was that everything you wanted to share?
That was pretty much it.
It's just anyways. It's.
Okay, yeah. That's all we've got. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next week. Layton's got a few more stories. Jeff, I feel like you've done a great job with your jingles and with your fairy tales, but I feel like our listeners are missing out on some singular thoughts.
Ooh.
So maybe you can...
Hey, Ruben, didn't we have a poll question last week?
Did we?
No, we didn't. It was 2 weeks ago. Never mind.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
But this week's poll question is if we should have success
stories. So my single thought of this week is...
You can't just drop it on us.
I'm just making one on the spot. I'm too depressed about being single to come up with a single thought.
Aww.
I'm just kidding.
I feel like you could have done better.
It was done in a pinch.
I feel like you could have gotten way more depressed.
I will dutifully search my soul for some single thoughts.
Thank you, Jeff. I'm sure there's a single one in there somewhere.
The best ones do come from deep within your soul. Mm. Thank you guys for listening. Before we wrap this up, what is the point of this all?
The point is, Ruben, Jeff has a cough named Fitz. Chuck is filling our podcast. Ruben is swindling money. French Press is a company. Coconut chips taste way better than apple chips, all right? And auctioneers share spittoons. Jeff is a disclaimer. Layton is good at teasers. He just is. And we need more.
We need more.
We need more.
More.
More. What's our word of the week?
Oh, racism.